ER.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from St. Joseph, Missouri, where the Pony Express began and Jesse James met his end. More information at stjomo.com. That's stjomo.com. Produced in cooperation with Visit Missouri.
64 degrees in Lawrence, 64 in Manhattan. It is 6:06 p.m. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. We broadcast at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Got an old car taking up space in your garage? KPR's vehicle donation program accepts all cars, and donating is easy. We rely on your donations to help fund the programming you count on every day. Donate your car online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Stay tuned. We will have an update of news headlines at 6:30. At 6:36, we are going to talk about this Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Aid groups working, trying to contain it, say they're facing some very serious challenges. We will talk about that. Plus, we're going to learn more about the big SpaceX launch today, Starship, I think this is launch 12. Could be wrong about that. But we'll find out together coming up on KPR. Stick around.
Support for KPR comes from Pines Garden and Market, offering locally grown vegetable starts, cool season flowers, seeds, and growing supplies. Open daily in North Lawrence. More at pinesgardenmarket.com/KPR.
Coming up tonight on Prairie Journal on KPR2, the story of a father's love, loss, and lessons learned through grief. Brian Welch of Lawrence is the author of The Gift of a Broken Heart. And our Kansas 250 bookshelf series continues as well with books for the kids in your life. Kay McIntyre is your host. It's Prairie Journal, 7 o'clock tonight on KPR2. It's 6:20.
Support. This is NPR News.
Stephen Colbert hosts The Late Show one last time. Fellow late night hosts The Jimmys, Kimmel and Fallon, will air reruns to give Colbert the spotlight. Join us for a review of the finale from critic at large Eric Deggans and fan reactions as one of the highest rated American late night talk shows comes to an end. That's tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. It's Morning Edition, catching you up on the final Stephen Colbert and, of course, all the other news that happens overnight. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from the KU Natural History Museum, home to four floors of public exhibits, including the historic panorama, live snakes, insects, fossils, and more, highlighting past and present life on Earth to educate, engage, and inspire. More at biodiversity.ku.edu.
News headlines are coming up in 35 seconds. It is 64 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 6:30.
Up 85% in the first quarter compared to this time a year ago. This is NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Four Johnson County school districts have taken the first step toward potentially suing the state of Kansas over special education funding. Jody Fortino reports.
Kansas hasn't met the 92% threshold to fund the extra cost per student for special education for 15 years. Blue Valley Schools, the DeSoto School District, Olathe Public Schools, and the Shawnee Mission School District say they spent more than $119 million last school year to cover the state's shortfall. The school districts say the chronic underfunding is pushing them to, quote, a financial breaking point, and that teachers, students, and staff pay the price. The districts formed a coalition to pursue legal representation to consider suing the state. I'm Jody Fortino.
Recent data indicates fewer Kansas high school students are prepared for college than 10 years ago. The report looked at scores on the ACT exam, which aims to measure college readiness in English, reading, math, and science. In the past decade, the percentage of students reaching benchmarks in all four subjects has dropped by nearly half. Proficiency in each individual subject has also dropped by at least 15 percentage points. Since 2019, the state of Kansas has paid for all high schoolers to take the ACT once. That means more students take the exam, and that could be contributing to the decline in proficiency rates. The latest U.S. Census data for Kansas shows larger cities like Leawood, Overland Park, and Wichita experienced steady population growth over the last 3 years. The majority of rural counties have decreased in population. Jaron Saint-Lange is the co-director for the Kansas Population Center.
But part of that has to do with domestic out-migration where people have just left. And Kansas as a whole has not done that well with domestic migration, where we have more people typically leaving the state than coming into the state.
Saint-Lange also attributes the rural population loss to aging communities. Lawrence was a notable outlier, being the only larger city in the state to see a slight population loss. The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, a 50% chance of showers and storms overnight with lows in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a 70% chance of showers in the morning, another chance of showers and storms in the afternoon with a high in the lower 70s. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Hall of Fame President Alan Blasko will join us to run through the current round of inductees featuring the Get Up Kids, Andy McKee, Brody Buster, and more. That's the Kansas Music Hall of Fame on 105 Live this week, 5 p.m. Saturday and noon Sunday on Kansas Public Radio.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 in Lawrence, 96.1 in Lawrence, lots of other frequencies as well. Always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from KU's School of Professional Studies, an economic engine for the region, providing career-specific degrees, professional development programs, and leadership workshops that strengthen communities. More at sps.ku.edu.
We do still have about 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. 7:01. If you're joining us on KPR One stations, we have Classics Live. Destiny Ann Mermagan is the performer this week. A little more classical music after that, then at 9 o'clock, it's Jazz in the Night featuring music from the Vinyl Vault. I will see you there, or which is to say, I'll be listening at home. Perhaps you will be too. You're joining us on KPR2 at 7 o'clock. We have Prairie Journal with Kay McIntyre as your host, followed by The Middle with Jeremy Hobson.
Support for KPR comes from Watkins Museum of History, celebrating America's 250th anniversary with various museums and historic sites. Information about Finding Freedom, the Promise of 1776 in Douglas County, Kansas, at watkinsmuseum.org.
It's 10 minutes before 7. This is KPR.
$1 billion. It's burning up money real quick. And that's putting all the more pressure on SpaceX to get this Starship launch just right.
And they'll try again tomorrow, is that right?
Well, that's their intention. We'll see if it actually happens.
NPR's Jeff Brumfield, thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Fisher Investments. As a fiduciary, Fisher Investments is obligated to act in their clients' interest. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. From the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, investing in creative thinkers and problem solvers who help people, communities, and the planet flourish. More information is available at hewlett.org. From Proven Winners, with Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs, offering flowering shrubs and evergreens selected for home landscapes. More at provenwinnerscolorchoice.com/NPR. And from listeners like you, who donate to this NPR station.
Stephen Colbert hosts the final episode of The Late Show, reactions to the end of one of the highest-rated late-night talk shows on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m., after you stayed up late to watch The Late Show. Matthew Algio will have your regional news. Otherwise, join us for a roundup of news from all around the world, all around the nation, and all around the region.
Join us for KPR 105 Live from the Dole Institute. Food trucks at 11:30 and a concert featuring Alexa Dawson at 1 p.m. Thursday, June 4th, live from the Dole Institute. More at doleinstitute.org.
Coming up next at 7:01, KPR's very own spirited classical host, Destiny Ann Mermagan, appearing with her husband, Michael, who teaches cello at UMKC, along with the official accompanist and concert pianist of Park University, Lolita Lisovskaya-Sayevich. Music from Beethoven and Tchaikovsky coming right up on Classics Live.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5 KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7 KAND and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, 91.3 KANQ Chanute, 90.3 on the web at kansaspublicradio.org. Or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. Have a good evening. Classics Live is next. It is 7:01.
This Classics by Request was recorded by and dedicated to production engineer Jeffrey Chubby Smith. He is remembered by the entire KPR staff as a steward of music and a great friend. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, your plus one here in the audience of the Polsky Theater in the Midwest Trust Center at Johnson County Community College. This will be a Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, Rule, Joyce recital with KPR's own Destiny Ann Mermagan, violin of prairieclassical.org. Her husband, Mike Mermagan, who teaches cello at UMKC, and Park University's concert pianist and teacher of collaborative piano, Lolita Lisovskaya-Sayevich. Destiny's starting off by thanking Doreen Marande for her work putting this recital series together and congratulating Doreen on now having the Rule Joyce programs renamed as the Doreen Marande Professional Recital Series.
Hello. Humans, yay! So nice to see you all here. Thank you for being here. We as performers love actually playing for real people, so it means a lot to us that you're here, and we are so excited to be sharing in this exciting news for Doreen. She is such a gem, don't you think? Yes. We're very, very excited. Our very first piece of music that we are playing for you is Beethoven Trio, Opus 1, Number 3. Did I get that right? Yes. Okay. I should. I work on the radio, so if I screw up, my boss will hear about it. This is a really interesting trio. He composed it with a set of three, and the last trio, Haydn was his teacher, and Haydn was not a fan of Beethoven's last trio of this set, but Beethoven, being Beethoven, published it anyways, because he was a stinker. And so this particular trio is very intriguing. The opening, I'm going to just tell you a little bit about it so you know what to listen for. The opening, the three of us, have the same seven notes in unison, meaning we all play the same note. But then Beethoven, being the ever trickster, he repeats that figure but moves it up just a half step. So it's like, whoo, it's really spooky. And it ends very, you might think it's the end of the concert at the end of this movement, but it's not. Then the slower movement, the second movement, is very beautiful and lyrical, and I think you'll really enjoy it. You could even put the word charming with Beethoven, which is amazing. The third movement, you might feel a little unsettled, and that's normal. We do too, because Beethoven was really playing around with the rhythms and the meters, and so it's not what you expect, and I think he was probably trying to tick his teacher Haydn off by doing it. The last movement is very virtuosic, and Lolita is an amazing pianist, so I am so excited that you get to hear this. The ending is unlike anything I am used to with Beethoven. It's in a minor key, the whole trio, which means it's dark and stormy, but the ending, it ends in a major key, in a happy key, and it's very soft, and you're just left feeling very unresolved. And Mike mentioned that perhaps Beethoven was trying to play a trick on the audience, so I know you guys won't fall for it, though. Enjoy.
Thank you. That's the surprise ending. great stuff, great stuff. Actually, I was just realizing backstage that a lot of the old programs from even 100 years ago have been formed this way, with a major piece as the opener and then a bunch of short pieces or salon music for the rest of the concert. And that's kind of the model of this one. I don't know how it happened, but we just have a lot of short pieces that we're going to play for you now. So it says Tchaikovsky Valse Sentimentale is next, but I think what we'll do is we'll do that, and then we're going to do a Kreisler piece, and then we're going to do the second cello Tchaikovsky piece, and then we'll close with another Kreisler piece.
So you don't get too sick of one of us.
I thought it'd be a nice way to mix it up. But anyway, these pieces, the two cello pieces, are transcriptions from solo piano works. And apparently in the late 1880s, they were extremely popular. And when I read that, I wonder if that means Taylor Swift popular, or I don't know. I'm not sure what that means, but extremely popular, yeah, it must have been really well known by all audience members. And a cellist from the Moscow Conservatory, his name was William Fitzenhagen. He's actually responsible for the version of the Rococo variations that we have today. Tchaikovsky wrote a different order of variations, and one of them even slightly different than what is performed today. What's performed today is actually Fitzenhagen's arrangement. And originally, Tchaikovsky was not very happy about that, but then he gave in eventually, because everybody plays it that way, is what he said. And so he gave the publishers permission to publish it in the order that Fitzenhagen performed it. So these arrangements are also from Fitzenhagen, the piano cello arrangements. For, I think, the Nocturne, Tchaikovsky also arranged it for orchestra and cello after the Fitzenhagen arrangement. So cellists apparently really like this music, and I remember hearing it from my my teacher's album after he won the silver medal in the Tchaikovsky competition. He did an album in 1968, which included these two Tchaikovsky pieces, so that's why I chose them. They're something I used to listen to frequently when I was studying cello. Thank you.
Very, very dramatic. Well, I have a couple of short pieces. I am going to play one of them, the first that is mentioned there, Liebeslied, and that means love's sorrow. Kreisler was a violinist himself with a very unique sound, and thankfully there are still a few recordings left of him playing. So if you want to hear a really different kind of sounding violinist who sounds like the human voice and sometimes like it in the best way, I highly recommend, really, I have a lot of cats, I like cats. I highly recommend checking out Kreisler and try to find the original recordings of him playing. They're fantastic. So this first one, Liebeslied, Love Sorrow, will be followed by Mike playing his Nocturne, and then I will get back up here and play for you Schön Rosmarin, which means fair rosemary. And if you clap really well and you like us, we have a special encore for you. Thank you. Thank you.
here's something happy now that you're all thoroughly depressed.
Such a good audience. It sounds like you want an encore. Thank you. We are going to play for you a tango, but first, I think Doreen deserves another round of applause for being such a gem to this city. We are so lucky to have her for running this series. We are very grateful to be here to share in this, and stick around and say hi to us afterwards. We're real people. We like talking to people. We don't get out much. We just sit at home and practice. A tango. It is one of the most famous of all time, Oblivion by Astor Piazzolla.
Destiny?
Yes?
I forgot to mention, there's a reception afterward that you're all invited to.
There's a reception afterwards. That's fantastic. Then we'll definitely be there.
Thank you.
with pianist Lolita Lisovskaya-Sejovic from the Park University International Center for Music, and the Mermaidens. Destiny Ann Mermaidens is the violinist and Kansas Public Radio's own classical music host. Her husband and music partner Mike Mermaidens is the cello professor at the University of Missouri's Conservatory of Music in Kansas City. This has been part of the Rule Joyce Doreen Marande professional recital series that Johnson County Community College hosts each spring and fall semester. It's a series of free noon hour concerts held sometimes on Mondays, open to all students, staff, and to the public. Check jccc.edu for the latest schedule. Brought to you by KPR's weekly radio series, Classics Live, which aims to bring you the best live and local classical concerts in the area. Chuck Smith was our recording engineer, and I'm Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Kansas City pianist Poe Sim Head played that suite by Roberto Carpio Valdez. Recorded in our live performance studio on June 9th, 2023. This has been Classics Live on KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
This Classics Live was recorded by production engineer Jeffrey Chubby Smith. We dedicate this performance to him and remember him fondly from all of us at Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find NPR news and classical music, Kansas Public Radio. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. And support for Classics Live on KPR comes from Nuvant House of Lawrence, offering care services to assist living, including day stay, short-term, and long-term options. Information at nuvanthouse.com. And Heartland Community Health Center, providing primary care, dental, mental health, or help with a chronic condition. Heartland accepts all patients, including Medicare. More information at heartlandhealth.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Congress is leaving town for a week-long recess. That means lawmakers will miss President Trump's June 1st deadline to fund immigration enforcement for the next 3 years. It comes after Trump created a nearly $1.8 billion fund that may grant money to January 6th Capitol rioters. Former Republican Senate leader Mitch McConnell called the move, quote, utterly stupid, morally wrong. As NPR's Eric McDaniel reports, negotiations fell apart.
The fund out of the Department of Justice, nearly $2 billion meant to pay folks who've been victimized by the government. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche told Congress that might include people who attacked lawmakers and police on January 6, 2021, as President Trump tried to remain in power despite losing the 2020 presidential election. As you might imagine, that upset some folks, which when both chambers have nearly the smallest majorities you could have is a problem.
NPR's Eric McDaniel reporting. The next person who scans your luggage at the airport might not be a federal worker. The Trump administration wants private companies to play a bigger role in airport security than they have in decades. NPR's Bill Chappell reports.
The Transportation Security Administration, or TSA, says it plans to announce the first 2 to 3 airports in its new Gold Plus program later this year. The voluntary program expands on a system that currently lets around 20 airports use private contractors rather than federal officers. They include San Francisco and Kansas City. TSA would maintain oversight at airports that join the Gold Plus program, but private companies would gain more control over the equipment. TSA wants to move toward a future where AI improves screening imagery and gives travelers accurate wait times for checkpoints. But a union representing federal workers says privatizing security would take thousands of jobs away from officers who've been keeping air passengers safe. Bill Chappell, NPR News.
California Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom has signed an executive order to help protect workers from AI. NPR's John Ruich has more.
The forecasts can be dire when it comes to the effect of AI on jobs, and it's something a lot of people are worried about, according to polls. Newsom's executive order directs the state to dig into the issue. Within a half a year, for instance, the Labor and Workforce Department must submit a review of policies and practices that provide workers with a safety net. It also has to come up with a plan for expanding enrollment in employment insurance and make recommendations for how to boost worker training. Newsom directed part of the government to team up with the University of California and Stanford to develop ways to help AI advance the public good and address problems facing society. Newsom says California has led the way on innovation, and now it needs to reimagine work, governance, and how people prepare for the future. John Ruich, NPR News.
Stephen Colbert's long run on The Late Show ends tonight. CBS announced last summer that Colbert's show would end, citing economic reasons after 11 seasons. Some, including Colbert, suspect political pressure played a role in the decision. Colbert leaves as the ratings leader in late-night TV. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia. For 35 years, sharing what works in schools today and working to inspire new ways to learn tomorrow. More at edutopia.org.
Stardate May 21st. A space telescope is scheduled for a rescue. If the plan works, a small spacecraft will boost it to a higher orbit. That would allow the telescope to keep watching the skies for years. Neil Gehrel's Swift Observatory was launched in late 2004. It watches the universe at a wide range of wavelengths, from visible light to gamma rays, the most powerful form of energy. Its original mission was to study gamma ray bursts, the explosive deaths of massive stars. They're among the most violent events in the universe and among the swiftest. So the telescope has to pivot swiftly when a new burst occurs, hence its name. SWIFT's original altitude was 375 miles, but the Sun has been especially active in recent years. It's heated Earth's atmosphere, causing it to expand. That's dragged the telescope to less than 250 miles. There's a good chance it could fall from orbit by the end of the year. The rescue mission is scheduled for launch within a few weeks. SWIFT wasn't designed to be serviced in orbit, so it'll take some delicate maneuvering to not harm its delicate equipment. The rescue ship will spend a couple of weeks flying around the observatory, giving controllers time to plot the capture. Once latched on, the craft will boost the telescope back to its original altitude, allowing it to keep watching some of the most powerful events in the universe. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. For the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
That's the Boccaccio Overture, or Prince of Palermo, by Franz van Suppe, on Kansas Public Radio. It tells the story of the poet Boccaccio and his attempts to win the hand of the daughter of the Duke of Tuscany, performed there by the Slovak State Philharmonic, conducted by Alfred Walter. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence and 99.5 Manhattan, online at kansaspublicradio.org. By the way, Boccaccio is ultimately successful and does win the hand of his love. Ah, love. How about a concerto for the love oboe? It's Bach's Concerto for Oboe d'Amore, performed by the Bach Ensemble, Stephen Hammer on oboe, on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
Concerto for Oboe d'Amore by Johann Sebastian Bach, performed by the Bach Ensemble, Stephen Hammer on the oboe. From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 99.5 Manhattan. Tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Kansas State University, where researchers develop science-based solutions to conserve and manage water resources. More information at k-state.edu. Good evening, I'm Kay McIntyre. Glad to be with you on this Thursday evening. Coming up later this hour, we'll hear some more Bach, but right now, Tchaikovsky's Hamlet Fantasy Overture. It's the last of Tchaikovsky's three symphonic fantasies, and in this overture, you get touches of Hamlet as both a romantic and tragic figure. It's the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra, Leonard Slatkin conducting on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
The Hamlet Fantasy Overture by Tchaikovsky on Kansas Public Radio. That does not sound like it's going to have a happy ending. The St. Louis Symphony Orchestra performing under the direction of Leonard Slatkin. From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Olsburg Junction City. We're online at kansaspublicradio.org. Good evening, I'm Kay McIntyre. Hope you'll join us tomorrow evening for Film Music Friday. Every week, Jeff Watson brings you some of his favorite film scores. Tomorrow we'll hear a variety of tunes, including music from Cinema Paradiso, Don Juan, and a medley of film tunes by Jerry Goldsmith. It's Film Music Friday, tomorrow from 7 to 9 p.m. on Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from LMH Health Ortho Kansas, providing advanced orthopedic care to help patients stay healthy and active. More information is available at lmh.org/orthokansas. Good evening, I'm Kay McIntyre. Earlier this evening, we heard Bach's Concerto for Oboe d'Amore. We'll finish out the hour with a Bach favorite, Brandenburg Concerto No. 3, featuring a triple trio, three violins, three violas, three cellos, plus a double bass and a harpsichord. It's the CBC Orchestra, under the direction of Mario Bernardi, on Kansas Public Radio. That's Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 3 on Kansas Public Radio. CBC Orchestra, conducted by Mario Bernardi. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Theater Lawrence, presenting The Addams Family, a musical for the entire family, June 5th through 7th, 11th through 14th, and 18th through 21st. Tickets and more at theaterlawrence.com. What to do with that old boat or old car? KPR's vehicle donation program can help. We'll take your donated boat or car and use it to fund the programs you enjoy every day. Find out more about KPR's vehicle donation program at kansaspublicradio.org.
At Morning Edition from NPR News, we know you're busy, so we get straight to the point. We go to the people who have the facts, who know the story firsthand, and the decision makers, and we ask the tough questions.
So, Bobby, bubble or no bubble?
Is the system ready?
Is that statement true?
Do they have a plan?
What's in the deal?
What does this mean, then, for elections in the fall?
Get to the point with us every weekday morning.
Join us for Morning Edition from 5 to 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Your local host, Matthew Algio, followed by classical music from 9 to 3 o'clock. Tomorrow is Friday, and you know what that means. Classics by request with Destiny. Tomorrow morning, we'll hear everything from Mozart to Scott Joplin, as well as some music for dancing trombones and marimbas. It's Classics by Request with Destiny from 9 to noon here on Kansas Public Radio. Coming up next, it's the latest news from NPR, then jazz with Bob McWilliams on Kansas Public Radio. The time is 9 o'clock.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump is again threatening a U.S. military intervention in Cuba. He said past presidents have considered intervening in Cuba for decades, but that, quote, it looks like I'll be the one that does it. Yesterday, the Trump administration announced criminal charges against former Cuban President Raul Castro, and many believe Trump is following the same playbook as when he ousted Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro, as NPR's Ryan Lucas reports.
The Trump administration also has ramped up pressure on the island, squeezed it economically, and now we have the Castro indictment, which some people certainly see as a prelude to potential military action. Cuba's president, in fact, yesterday accused the U.S. of trying to create a pretext to attack the country. Now, potential U.S. military action could target just Castro, or it could target Cuba more generally, but either way, experts say it's unclear that the Cuban government would respond the same way that Venezuela's did.
NPR's Ryan Lucas reporting. Federal law enforcement officials announced charges today against 15 people in Minnesota for allegedly stealing more than $90 million of federal funds. Minnesota Public Radio's Kyra Miles reports.
Charges included submitting bills for health care services never rendered and defrauding child care assistance programs and autism service centers. Federal officials say this is the largest autism fraud scheme ever charged by the Department of Justice. Colin McDonald, who leads the DOJ's National Fraud Enforcement Division, says this is the beginning of a renewed effort to eradicate fraud across the country.
Our cases today involve seven different state-managed Medicaid programs that have been systematically pilfered by fraudsters who treated Minnesota-run programs as their personal piggy bank.
The DOJ also announced a new expansion of the Healthcare Fraud Midwest Strike Force in Minnesota. They're hiring 15 more prosecutors. For NPR News, I'm Kara Miles in St. Paul.
Government weather forecasters expect 8 to 14 named storms will form in the Atlantic this hurricane season. NPR's Rebecca Hersher reports that's a slightly smaller number than average.
The main reason for the relatively small number of storms is El Niño, the cyclic weather pattern that makes it harder for hurricanes to form in the Atlantic. But that doesn't mean people in hurricane-prone parts of the U.S. can rest easy, says Neil Jacobs, who leads the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Even though we're expecting a below-average season in the Atlantic, it's very important to understand that it only takes one. We have had Category 5s make landfall in the past during below-average seasons.
And he says it's not just people on the coast who are at risk. Hurricanes and tropical storms have caused deadly flooding thousands of miles inland. Rebecca Hersher, NPR News.
The Atlantic hurricane season is June 1st through November 30th. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Some lucky New York City residents will get a chance to snag cheap seats this summer's high-priced World Cup. Mayor Zoran Mamdani announced that 1,000 tickets costing $50 will be made available to residents of the city. They'll be available for all games played at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, except for the final. Aid groups are ramping up their response to the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo, but they face many challenges, from supply shortages to funding cuts. NPR's Fatma Tanis reports.
The virus is spreading in the northeast province of Ituri. It's a rural area with densely populated towns of over 4 million people. Many of them are displaced because of the ongoing conflict there. Attacks on clinics and health workers have left the overall infrastructure weak. Aid groups say it's a challenging environment to mount a response. Most areas don't have roads. There are also needs for medical supplies, for testing and sanitizing and treating patients. But with borders shut and funding shortages, it's difficult to get large shipments in. A global medical supply shortage further complicates things due to the constraints on shipping routes from the Iran war. Fatma Tanis, NPR News.
A calendar featuring close-ups of handsome priests has been a popular Rome souvenir for two decades, but many of those photographed aren't actually priests. A now 39-year-old flight attendant has been the cover model for most of the last 23 editions. Rome's La Repubblica called it a fake priest calendar. The photographer says at least one-third of the 2027 calendar subjects are real priests. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include RBC Wealth Management, dedicated to delivering financial strategies that transform wealth planning and legacy building into reality. Learn more at rbcwealthmanagement.com.
From the vinyl vault, the Quincy Jones Big Band from 1959, the album The Birth of a Band. We heard that piece written and arranged by Quincy that featured saxophonist Zoot Sims and Jerome Richardson. And then it was Quincy's arrangement of Bobby Timmons tune Monin, a feature for the trumpeter and flugelhorn player Clark Terry. Came out on Mercury in 1959. I have it on reissue by the Trip record label from the mid-70s. And my research shows it's never been issued domestically on CD. And it's really a terrific album and not really very expensive in any form of LP. So keep your eyes open for it. You know, loaded band, great talent. And alto saxophonist Jackie McLean from his Bluesneck LP. Up next, we've got guitarist Tal Farlow on the way. We've got Mark Murphy in a wonderful intimate setting singing These Foolish Things. All of that here on our Thursday night all vinyl hour of Jazz in the Night. Bluesneck, the LP from Jackie McLean, up next, and one called Cool Green.